Today is the 4th of November 2011. And you have tuned in to the morning service of the Weatherby House Church. We don't have a sign out in front of our little worship center here. So if you ever want to come and visit, we don't have the hours posted for our services. So you might want to call before you come to set a time, make sure that we're going to be here. People say you're an underground church. No, we're not underground. We just don't have a sign out front. And we don't have a parking place reserved for the pastor and the Sunday school superintendent, even though we don't have Sunday school. We don't have an organ here, an organ player. So don't get your hopes built up that. There's no choir, and we don't have any choir robes. I don't wear a gown or a robe while I'm preaching. I don't get up in a pulpit holder standing over people. I sit down and talk. And we don't have any offering plates. We don't pass around any offering plates. So you don't have to worry about giving any offerings or anything like that. And we don't need any new carpet back here, so we're not going to be voting on the color of the carpet or the pews. We don't have any pews in here. I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm just, I guess, reminding people, if you decide you want to come to Weatherby House Church, our phone number is 816-449-3211. We do not have a baptismal font, so if you want to be baptized, we'll have to take you out the creek. It's kind of cold this time of year, but, you know, we could probably make do with it if you can handle the cold, frigid waters. We don't have any rock bands with Christian rock music, or so if you're looking for, you know, entertainment, you're not going to get it here. If you're wanting to get into children's service, children's church, we don't have children's church. We just have one service. We do not have a nursery or a babysitting clinic here in on premises. We don't have any game shows where you can go out and play video games in the intermission. We don't watch films or movies, and we don't have plays or dramas, and we don't study C.S. Lewis. Do we have a selection?
Page 10, Oh How I Love Jesus.
10, Oh How I Love Jesus. Alright.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me, it tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, he'll sunshine all the way. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who any sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Oh, we also don't have any gymnasium. I'm sorry, we don't practice sports. We don't have a big screen TV in here to watch football or basketball or baseball. And we don't invite political parties to come in here to give speeches to promote Romney or Obama, like Rick Warren and Bill Hybels and James Dobson types. We don't get into inviting in Mormons into our church or Muslims or people like that to give speeches. Or Catholics are not welcome here. The only way you can come here is if you renounce Catholicism. We do not want any Catholics here bringing in their idolatrous Mary graven images and stuff like that. Okay, we got a selection by Rosette. It's, "Oh, Once I Had a Glorious View," 336. 336. Okay.
"Once I had a glorious view of my redeeming Lord. He said, 'I'll be a God to you,' and I believed his word. But now I have a deeper stroke than all my groanings are. My God has me of late forsook. He's gone, I know not where. Oh, what immortal joys I felt on that celestial day, when my heart began to melt, my love dissolved away. But my complaint is bitter now, for all of my joys are gone. Astrayed I'm left, I know not how, the light from me withdrawn. Once I rejoiced, the saints to me they were most dear. I then could stoop to wash their feet and shed a joyful tear. But now I need them as the rest, and with that joyless stay, my conversation is spiritless, or else I'm not to say. I forward go in duty's way, but can't perceive him there. And backward on the road I stray, but cannot find him there. On the left hand where he doth work among the wicked crew, and on the right I find him among the favored few. What shall I do? Shall I lie down and sink in deep despair? For he shall never wear a frown nor hear my fervent prayer. Nor he will put his strength in me. He knows the way I've trod, and when I've tried sufficiently, I shall come forth as gold."
I'm sure there will be a lot of campaigning in the pulpits today, 2 days before election. And I was talking to my mother yesterday, and she said, I know who I'm voting for. We've had enough of Obama. Who are you voting for, Larry?" I says, "I'm not voting. Why would I vote for either one of those characters? Why? Why would I vote for a Mormon? A guy that's in a cult and is just totally, pushed his Mormon religion. He was a bishop over a bunch of congregations at one time. Believes that him and his wife are going to inherit a planet and procreate on a planet when he dies. I think I want somebody like that around the country." You say, "Well, he's better than Obama." When is it right to choose the lesser of two evils? Would you tell me that? Would you answer that question for me? You can email me at rothmillerstewart@gmail.com if you want. I have an answer for that. Okay, let's try 388. You say, "Well, you seem awful cynical today." No, I'm just being truthful. And sometimes people don't like the truth. They like to hide their head down in the sand and just vote for what they say the better man.
"Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark in the voice of angels, born in a song to me. Over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptations, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er, wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest.
$2.96, so how happy are they?
$2.96. Oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey, and whose treasures are laid up above. Tongue can never express the sweet comfort and peace of a soul in its earliest love. That sweet comfort was mine when the favor divine I first found in the blood of the Lamb. When the truth I believed, oh, what joy I received, what a heaven in Jesus' sweet name. 'Twas a heaven below my Redeemer to know, and the angels could do nothing more than to fall at his feet and the story repeat and the lover of sinners adore. Jesus, all the day long was my joy and my song. Oh, that all his salvation might see. He hath loved me, I cried. He hath suffered and died, and all to purchase redemption for me. Oh, the rapturous light of that holy delight, which was shed through the life-giving blood of my Savior possessed, I was perfectly blessed, and it filled with the fullness of God. Now my remnant of days when I spent to his grace, who has died my poor soul to redeem, whether many or few, all my years are his due, may they all be devoted to him. Tonight.
Come all ye chosen saints of God, whose souls are washed in Jesus' blood. Hear what he says, his word is true. My grace sufficient is for you. I am your sure almighty friend, who lovingly loves you to the end. I will be near you and will show my grace sufficient is for you. I know how numerous are your foes. I know the ways which they oppose. I know their cunning malice too. My grace sufficient is for you. Though Satan tries your souls to snare, you're still the objects of my care. You're near my heart, I'll bring you through. by grace sufficient is for you. Do you want proof of this, my love? Calvary surveyed in heaven above. See how the ransom millions do. My grace sufficient is for you. I'll guide you safely in the way. Through our stark night to heaven's bright day. And there with wonder you shall view. My grace sufficient is for you. To your mountain, thou who art weary of sin, go to the clear flowing fountain, where you may wash and be clean. Life for the visitor is near thee, oh, and the Savior will hear thee. He on his bosom will bear thee. Thou who art weary of sin, oh, thou who art weary of sin, he will protect thee forever, wipe every sad falling tear, he will forsake thee no never, shelter so tenderly there, haste in the hours fast are flying, spend up the moments in sighing. Cease from your sorrow and crying. The Savior will wipe every tear. The Savior will wipe every tear.
How beautiful it must be.
378 will be our last song before we go to the other part of our service. We don't have any announcements this morning. We don't have any bulletins, so I can't go by the bulletin. I can't look in the bulletin and see what the announcements are. I don't have any programs or anything like that. We don't have any board meetings scheduled, or elders or deacon meetings, or we don't have any 60s dinners planned, over 60s dinners planned, or we have any kind of new beginners class starting or anything like that. I'm sorry, but. Okay, you want to start this, Mark?
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. Each truth in God's word he hath given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining, how beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing, how beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing, up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
Dear Lord, we pray that you be with us in this service. We pray that you would grant to us your Spirit to guide us and direct our hearts and heal us of our many sins, draw us closer to you, we pray, according to your complaint. completed work on the cross, your perfect righteousness. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You know, I think that it's going to be amazing as the eschatological clock winds down, how people are going to change their eschatology. That's my opinion. I believe that people have held certain views, eschatological views, for a long time. And as these events, these prophecies that were told 2,000 years ago start coming into fruition, all of a sudden people's eschatology is going to start changing. Have you ever stopped to think about this? Now, I know this is going to offend some people, and I'm sorry if you're offended, but what I would like you to do is I'd like for you to examine why you would be offended at my statements. I want you to examine why you get so mad when I get ready to say this. But can you imagine John on the Isle of Patmos over 2,000 years ago giving the prophecy that you would not be able to buy or sell unless you had a mark in your right hand or in your forehead? Have you ever thought about that? 2,000 years ago, no technology, no computers, no microchips, okay? Not any iPhones, okay? None of that. No barcodes. No scanners. John on the Isle of Patmos said, you're not going to be able to buy or sell, say you have the mark in your forehead or in your right hand. And he didn't know anything about this technology. And yet there's people today that say, oh, it's not a literal mark. It's not. It has nothing to do with a microchip. Yeah. It's amazing. Okay, well, you hide in the bushes and watch, okay? As things wind down, your eschatology will change. That's my prediction. I'm not a prophet or anything. Why do you think that the international banking community and the Rockefellers have been outwardly spoken and they are Luciferian in their doctrine? Why have they said they want to get everybody chipped? Why? Why have they said it? They certainly don't have the Spirit of God in them. They're the spirit of Antichrist. They're the New World Order. They're trying to usher in a new world. Now, one of the things we want to remind ourselves is that this is all under the auspices and governance of God Almighty. Okay? He told John 2,000 years ago it was going to happen. Get ready. Why do you think? I know a lot of people say, oh, Larry's just really gone off on the deep end now. That's okay. You can say whatever you want to, you know, but guess what? You can't kick me out of Weatherby House Church. Sorry. You don't have the deciding vote. God is the one that put me in Weatherby House Church, and God is the one that will preserve me in Weatherby House Church, or take me out of it, regardless of whatever he chooses to do. But the point is that, here's my point, okay? These evil people that want to get everybody chipped, and they don't want you, they want to be able, in fact, one of the Rockefellers, the young Rockefellers, told that guy from Nevada before he died that if people don't line up with what they want, they'll just shut them off. They'll just turn off their chip. They'll just turn it off. Now, you say, well, that has nothing to do with the moral. Oh, yeah, right. Ask me if I believe that. I believe it has everything to do with it. And I believe that people that are going along with the world system and entrenched in it, like Mike Huckabee, Southern Baptists, and like that guy that's the governor over there in Kansas, Brownback. What a name, you know that? He's got brown all over his back. Appropriately named, Brownback. Just like Chucky Swindoll, he's appropriately named, all right? They will go right along with the world system. They always have. They're not going to change unless it's a divine, sovereign act of God to bring them out of the system. Rick Warren, do you know that Billy Graham recently had a meeting with His Highness Mitt Romney and let the world know Mormonism is okay? It's okay to believe that you're going to get a planet and procreate on another planet. Come on, Billy Graham. Now, my prediction is that your eschatology is going to change as time winds down. If you're a true Christian, your eschatology will line up with the Bible, by the way. You won't take on all this head-in-the-sand routine. You won't start proclaiming prior to the Great Tribulation that things are going to get better and better. You're not going to be proclaiming that there's going to be a secret rapture and you're going to be raptured out of here and not have to face any of this garbage. Because that's not the Bible. Read Revelation. I just got through listening to the book of Revelation. Really, if you don't want to read it, put on Alexander Scurvy and listen to it. Just listen to it. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Now it says that people's heads are going to be chopped off. People are going to be killed for the name of Christ. They're going to come out of great tribulation, having their robes washed, their blood, the blood of the saints. Say, well, I don't want to go through. Who wants to go through it? Who wants to starve? Who wants to not have heat in their house? Who wants to be considered the off-scouring of everybody and be excommunicated? We know kind of how that feels here at Weatherby House Church. We're not a part of any association. Okay, we don't have any sessions. We don't have any Mother Church telling us what we have to do. We have not subscribed to any synod. Okay. And yes, we have a confession of faith. You know what our confession of faith is? The Bible. Why do people have all these confessions of faith? They just keep changing them anyway. I mean, look at the United Presbyterian Church. I mean, they're ordaining women and homosexuals and everything else. Look at the Christian Reformed Church. And look at the Southern Baptist Church now. You say, well, what is your title of your sermon today? It doesn't have a title. This sermon does not have a title. It's a titleless sermon. How do you like that? I'm just asking you a question. Has your eschatology changed? Will your eschatology change as things... Get your Bible and read the 24th chapter of Matthew again. Perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. The disciples came to Christ and said, what's going to happen? What's going to be the sign when these come? And he goes through the whole thing. And then when you start preaching on the 24th chapter of Matthew, people say you're a newspaper eschatologist. Just because you're going by the Bible? I can see the alignment with the Roman Catholic Church and the Mormons. I can see the alignment with the Mormon Catholic Church and the Southern Baptist. I mean, Billy Graham's already said it's okay. It's okay. Mormonism's all right. I can see an alignment with the Muslims. You know what? You people are going to say, oh, he's really gone off the deep end now. I can see the time when Obama and Mitt Romney go out golfing with each other. I mean, Bill Clinton goes out golfing with George Bush. They're all in the same camp, people. Don't you realize these people at the top are puppets? They're puppets. But you know what? Their puppet master is God. That's their puppet master. God's the one that sent this storm right down here before the election. Maybe he, you know. Anyway, this is my take on the Bible, on the Revelation. As things wax worse and worse, why do so many people take on the name of the Lord? You ever thought about that? You turn on and everybody's talking about the Lord and about God and about having a spiritual nature, right? God loves everybody anyway, doesn't he? Doesn't God love everybody? God is love, isn't he? People say, well, you're sure cynical. I had a guy email me recently and says, everybody knows that you're just a very angry person. I'm not angry. All I'm doing is quoting the Bible. They shall not be able to buy or sell, say they have the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And, you know, you say, well, you're trying to bring today's events in alignment with the Bible. No, I'm not trying to do anything. That's exactly what is happening, friend. Today's events are in alignment with the Bible. I'm not trying to do nothing. I mean, if Larry had his wish, we would have no computers, no microchips. You know, I think I would have probably enjoyed rather living in the 20s or 30s rather than in this dispensation of time, but God chose to put me on the planet this time, probably to irritate you, to get your attention. Okay? And just like we started out this service today, you know, if you're one of those that are a member of one of these organizations and you go into your church today, you're going to hear what we call feel, felt, and found. Feel, felt, found. This is the way I feel, it's the way I felt, and here's what I found to feel good. Just keep feeding me all of this malarkey. And just help me to feel like I'm a part of the bigger whole, bigger picture, the big family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Bill Gaither, right? What family of God is he a part of? He went and took Mass in a Catholic church. He promoted a gal that was a lesbian right in his little Sinkspiration. What God is he a part of? The gay God. God is not gay. Alright? God hates homosexuality. He says it's an abomination. That's what he said. You don't like it? Tough. That's what he said. God is not gay. Well, the gays are going to have it good during the tribulation. You know why I know that? Because they're going to be in power. The Bible even talks about the Antichrist being a person that doesn't desire women. Doesn't that what it says? I believe it does. The Roman Catholic Church forbids their priests to marry. They're run over with homosexuals in the Roman Catholic Church. And so, you know, you can scratch your head all you want to about this eschatology thing and try to explain it away and say it's symbolism and it's not a literal mark and that was really back in 70 AD. Come on, give me a break, fella. Give me a break. Read your Bible. Read the 24th chapter of Matthew and then tell me that this has already taken place. No, it hasn't. And as our society becomes more and more debauched and immoral, I mean, if you just look around you, let's just look at one area. You know how the preachers in the past have done messages saying that marriage is a picture of the church? Well, if marriage is a picture of the church, what is fornication a picture of? You ever thought about that? If marriage is a picture of the church, what is homosexuality a picture of? If marriage is a picture of the church, what is people shacking up with other people a picture of? It's certainly not the picture of Jesus Christ's church and his bride. Well, I rant and raved. I had a person email me here a while back and said, you know, don't send me your so-called sermons. I don't want to listen to your rant and your ravings. That's all right. You don't have to listen to me rant and rave. Just click on the old delete button. All right? I want to read one passage before we close this out. And I'm amazed at how people can just absolutely just totally deny Scripture and can explain it away. And it's amazing. People say, well, the problem with you is you take the Bible too literally. Well, let me ask you a question. Was John a literal person? Or was he a symbolic person? Was John actually on the island of Patmos, or was he on some planet somewhere? Was John the one that was prophesying all these things that were to come to pass? Or was it just a symbolic? Was it somebody else? He says here in the first chapter of Revelation, says, he's speaking to John. Jesus Christ is speaking to John. And it says in verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. He showed John these things. He says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That's what he told John to do. And that's what John did. And, you know, I almost went a different direction this morning. I almost went to the book of Psalms and was going to give a message of comfort this morning. And I got to thinking about it. Maybe we don't need comfort all the time. Maybe we need to be shocked a little bit with the reality of what's going on right now. And, I don't know what's going to happen in the future as far as the time frame as to when the actual literal mark is going to take place. It could be in 10 years, it could be 200 years. I don't know. I don't claim to know, but I know this. But things aren't getting any better. Things aren't getting any better. Of course, a lot of people think that things are going to get better. We're going to have a great, well, they call it a restoration, a reformation, and all of this stuff. But that's not what the apocalypse is about. And now, it says here in the 17th chapter of Revelation, it says, verse 5, well, let's start with verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup. I believe that's the Roman Catholic Church. That's what I believe. I could be wrong. I'm not saying that sets them. I believe that that's referring to Roman Catholic Church. And upon her forehead, it says, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations, filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth.
I believe it's not only the Roman Catholic Church, but everyone that joins in that world church. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. That doesn't sound like rapture to me. The blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. You know, I don't know how people can get everything coming up roses during this time. I just can't. I don't see how they get it. Now we see the fall of Babylon, and we see how the Babylon is going to fall. This mystery Babylon is going to fall, but before Babylon falls, there's going to be a rise of an Antichrist and a false prophet, and there's going to be a great power that's going to be allowed to rise and deceive the nations. Now, a lot of people are deceived right now. A lot of people are deceived right now because they believe that they are in the true church. They are worshiping in a false church, a church that is not giving them the whole counsel of God, a church that is denying the cardinal doctrines of election and predestination, a church that is upholding and the exaltation of man, the free will of man. And, you know, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's what I'm saying right now to everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice. And I'm not going to go into all of this because we've gone into this before, but I know that if I were to focus on any one thing, I would say focus upon the reality of the fact that God is sovereign over all of these things. God is sovereign over the mark of the beast. God is sovereign over the seven seals. He's sovereign. He's the only one that's worthy to open the book. He's the only one that will end up telling that fifth angel to cast the Satan into the bottomless pit. I mean, we know that Satan is going to ultimately, his demise is for certain. And we know also that there is also, during this time, there is going to be an alliance, or if you want to use the word merger, between the political powers, and Satan. A lot of people don't realize that. If you read the scripture, there's going to be an alliance between the political powers and the powers of darkness. And why do I say that? Well, just like I said, get Alexander Scurvy's tapes out. Sometimes you, by listening to Revelation, you might actually get more out of it than reading it if you just sit and listen to it several times. And we know that there's been an ongoing warfare between the dragon and Christ. An ongoing warfare. And Now, let's look in the 13th chapter of Revelation, and it says, verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He wasn't, notice here that he wasn't just blaspheming people on the earth. He was blaspheming people that were in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Where's the rapture here? It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Well, you know, we're going to see another beast rising after this one out of the earth. This one came out of the sea. And he's going to exercise all the power of the first beast before him. And he's going to cause, verse 12, the earth of them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Where's the rapture in that? Where's the rapture in that? And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Oh, it's not a literal mark. Well, remember what we first read about what he told John to do? To write down what he saw and heard and what would happen? That no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Do you realize that he qualified that? John said that it could be either the mark of the beast, it could be the name of the beast, or it could be the number of his name. And he even said what the number of the beast's name was. And it's 666. Now, what would people say? What's the significance of the barcode having sequential numbers and having six in the right, on the left hand side, six in the center, and six? What is the significance of that? Is it amazing that John 2,000 years ago saw it? You say, oh, that has nothing to do with it. Well, it just happens to be the same number. Alright, now says here, here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for is the number of man, and his number is 666. Notice it's the number of man. It's not the number of perfection of seven. It's the number of man. And notice that it's the Trinity of man. Anything to replicate the Trinity of God. It's 666, the Trinity of man, the exaltation of man. Well, I'm not going to go any further this morning other than to say I'm very thankful that I'm not in any world system. And why do you think that Obama is considered the food stamp president? Have you ever thought about that? The food stamp president. You cannot buy or sell or have any food unless you have a mark. Why do you think they've come out with this food stamp card? You ever thought about that? They want to get as many people on food stamps as possible so that if you don't go along with the system, they just cut you off and you now you're dependent on the food, so you don't have it anymore. I remember back as a kid that people were saying the Social Security number was the beginning of the market. Well, it was. It was the beginning of that whole system of control. Why do you think they're now they've stole literally billions of dollars out of the Social Security system? And people that are on SSI and Social Security, when this economy crashes, do you think they're going to have money to pay for the Social Security? You think they're going to keep being able to pay, give people food stamps? Well, probably on a condition. Now, what would that condition be? You worship the beast. If you don't want to go along with our system, you don't get any food, you don't get any money, you don't get any gasoline. Sorry, we're turning your number off. Now, should we be fearful? No. In fact, when that day comes, we should be dancing in the streets. When the day comes when they take away our debit cards, if you want to call it that, when they turn our numbers off, and we no longer have access in the monetary system, we can't drive our cars, we don't have electricity, we don't have food, we should be dancing in the streets. Why would I say that? Who wants to suffer? Who wants to go through? Who wants to be hauled into a FEMA camp? You say, oh, Larry, what are you, Alex Jones? I'll tell you what. Now, I'm telling you that why do all of these subjects come up? Why did John bring all of this information up and let people know? Well, I think he did it for the elect's sake, to let them know, look, realize that this has all been told you before it happens, so when it does happen, you won't have to be alarmed about it. You can start celebrating and realizing, hey, I must be one of the elect. I must be one of those whose names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. I can imagine, right now, I can imagine the emails I'm going to get from this message. But that's okay. Now, I want to read, I want to conclude this. This has been longer than I thought it was going to go. This ranting and ravings, you know how that goes. But he says here, see if I can find it. He says in the second chapter of Thessalonians, second verse, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying and wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so God's going to send them strong delusion, sending them that they should believe a lie. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of God, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, he says, he ends that with saying, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word and work. So we should comfort ourselves with the realization that we are living in the last days, and that when we are called to go through tribulation, if we are called to go through the great tribulation, we should be celebrating it. We should be welcoming to have our heads chopped off, realizing that we will be ushered into the immediate presence of God Almighty. Do we have a selection?
291, Pure in Heart, O God.
291.
Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May I give my life wholly to Thee. Wash Thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet. Pure in heart, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do Thy will most lovingly. Be Thou my friend and guide, let me with Thee abide. Pure in heart, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. That I Thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin, bring Thou my soul within. Pure in heart, help me to be.
Rosette would like to sing 251. When I can read my title clear.
When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. Should earth against my soul engage and fiery darts be hurled, then I can smile at Satan's rage and face the frowning world. Then shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest, and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast.
Dear Lord, use this message. We are thankful. We thank You. Amen.
Father, we pray You would go with us this day. Help us to be alert, spiritually alert to what is going on around us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.